So the last couple of weeks, we've been exploring the book of Ecclesiastes, which gives us advice for living in difficult times. And I think many of us can probably empathize with Kohelet, the book's author, as they search for meaning in what they see in the world. It's part of the human experience to have times when we try to make sense of what's happening in our lives and we can't really come up with a satisfactory answer. We might feel depressed or frustrated. And even if we don't ultimately agree with the conclusions or the advice, Ecclesiastes, I think, can help us express what we sometimes feel and also to reflect on that. And if nothing else, I admire that although Kohelet sees a world full of injustice, they don't give up. And they don't live in denial of the problems. Instead, they have a kind of relentless drive to find a way through it, not just to survive, but to live a fulfilling life. In the first part of the book, Kohelet talks about the total frustration that they experience when they look on a world of corruption and know that they don't have the power to change it and heal it. And perhaps even more frustrating for them, they don't understand why God doesn't seem to right the wrongs that they can clearly see. They can't make sense of it. And their best advice is to live life as fully as we can, to enjoy the blessings which are present even in the worst of times. Then the middle part of Ecclesiastes talks about living in the present, being in harmony with life, to know our limitations and realize there is an occasion for everything, the good and the bad. Embrace it all and live life as fully as we can. And then in these last few chapters of Ecclesiastes, Kohelet turns to wisdom as a way to get through life's difficulties. They talk about the importance of wisdom and discerning the best choices for our everyday problems, discerning the best way to live in the good times and to endure the difficult times. Now, wisdom is the result of experience. Wisdom helps us discern, to find answers to our questions. If we call someone wise, we usually consider that person as having good judgment, thinking that they're pretty good at discerning what's best for any given situation. And Jesus tells us that being wise, developing sound judgment, is like building a house upon the rock. The wise person builds upon a firm foundation. And Jesus offers his own teachings as such a foundation of love. Jesus taught that everything that we say and do should come out of our love of God, our love of neighbor, our love of self. And in his letter, James, a follower and possibly the brother of Christ, expands upon what that looks like in practice. Wisdom, according to James, is evidenced by good living. But good living is not riches. Good living is not being wealthy and having everything you want. That kind of worldly wisdom, that the kind that tells us to pursue wealth and power, results in jealousy and self-seeking ambition. James says it leads to arrogance and lies, division and evil. This kind of wisdom, this worldly wisdom, is not from God. These things do not come from love. James even calls that kind of wisdom demonic. It's a house built on the sands of selfishness that will be washed away in the first storm. No, wisdom that comes from God, according to James, results in peace and kindness. The good living that results from God's wisdom is full of compassion and kindness for everyone without condition. It binds us together in support of community. And this wisdom built on the rock of love that withstands life's storms. And according to Kohelet, this true wisdom, this life-saving wisdom, comes out of our difficult times. Hearts grow wise in the house of mourning, they write. As much as they are frustrated by life's struggles, they realize that we learn from those struggles. And what we learn helps better prepare us for future struggles. Someone who has never experienced adversity won't be equipped to handle struggle when it comes. Think of a child who's always handed everything, who never has to learn how to cook or to budget. When they find themselves on their own, they're going to be in trouble. They're going to need help. Likewise, in our culture, we seem to revere the opinions of the rich and powerful above all else, which is not really surprising because we think that wealth and power is the measure of success. We revere it. But Koheleth warns us of those who grow foolish in the house of merrymaking. If we want to solve problems such as hunger and poverty, who has the wisdom to do that? Is it the rich and the well-fed? Perhaps the wisdom lies with those who have actually experienced poverty and hunger. But too often we don't give those people a voice. We marginalize them. We try to hide them, all the while listening to the wealthy and powerful tell us that, well, everything's going to be okay if we just help make them more wealthy and more powerful. Koheleth says it is better to submit to the wise person's reprimand than to listen to the song of the fool. And also, the quiet words of the wise should be heeded over the shouts of a foolish ruler. In other words, it's better to listen to those who have experienced the problems, even if they're critical, rather than follow those who speak with empty promises, even denying that the problems exist. Koheleth warns us not to be distracted by the bombast and shouting offered by foolish leaders to disguise the fact that they don't have any answers. But instead, we should seek out true wisdom, which is often spoken quietly by those who have taken the time to think and analyze with experience and compassion. In these last few chapters of Ecclesiastes, Koheleth offers us some of their own wisdom gleaned from their study and their experience. For example, in our reading today, Koheleth advises that patience is better than pride, and anger is for the foolish. They say, don't compare the past to the present. Recognize our limits and know that we can't control everything. All in all, not bad advice. And they go on to give other advice, some of which is good and some of which I'm not so sure about. For example, in chapter 8 of the book, they talk about using prudence, asking why risk your life for something if it serves no purpose. And in chapter 9, they give us the saying, a living dog is better than a dead lion. In other words, there are times when it might be best to look out for yourself rather than take a stand for justice. And that might be true sometimes, but it also bugs me a little bit because it feels self-serving and selfish. I think perhaps the greater good should usually outweigh our self-interest. But of course, it's not that simple either. Maybe self-interest now will help the greater good later. Discerning the best course of action can get complicated. And the lesson, I think, is that with all of the wisdom that we might have, discernment is still necessary. There are no hard and fast rules. What might be wise in one situation can still be the totally wrong thing to do in another situation. And I think maybe that's why Koheleth continues to always come back to that central conclusion, to do the best we can, but try to live life to the fullest, to enjoy life's blessings. And here in these later chapters of Ecclesiastes, they repeat that advice, but they also advise us to be careful, saying a single error can destroy much that is good. And they ask, doesn't oppression make fools of the wise? In other words, power corrupts, so be careful. And also, don't bribes corrupt the heart? In other words, be careful that wealth doesn't harden our hearts to the evil in the world. And elsewhere, Koheleth also admonishes us to watch our step and to watch what we say, for the walls have ears. which I think is all a warning not to let his advice to live life fully and joyfully in the face of evil and injustice become an excuse to fall into selfishness and hedonism. Pleasure is not our God, but it's a gift from God. So we can enjoy the pleasures of life, but we should never forget that we also need each other. If we're to survive, we also need a foundation of support and community that will only happen if the wisdom by which we live is God's wisdom, based in love, compassion, and kindness for all of God's people, all of God's creation. What I believe Koheleth is recommending is a life of gratitude and love. These are the things that help form strong foundations so that we can withstand the storms of life. A life centered in gratitude and love will help us build strong relationships, give us the principles and values we need to find our way through life's difficult times, and help us to experience the joy of the good times. When we are centered in gratitude and love, we're better able to embrace what we can't control and accept what we can't explain. When we're centered in gratitude and love, we walk on the firm foundation of God's wisdom, which will surely lead us to the kingdom of joy, peace, and justice. When we are centered in gratitude and love, there is no reason for fear or despair because God walks with us. And I'll end these reflections on Ecclesiastes with a poem from Mary Oliver, which I think echoes this message of Koheleth. It's called Don't Hesitate. If you suddenly and unexpectedly feel joy, don't hesitate. Give in to it. There are plenty of lives and whole towns destroyed or about to be. We are not wise and not very often kind, and much can never be redeemed. Still, life has some possibility left. Perhaps this is its way of fighting back, that sometimes something happens better than all the riches or power in the world. It could be anything, but very likely you notice it in the instant when love begins. Anyway, that's often the case. Anyway, whatever it is, don't be afraid of its plenty. Joy is not made to be a crumb. Amen.